Everybody, let me also repeat to you those words of encouragement and welcome. Thanks so much for being here. We love having you here. Guests, we are super appreciative of your attendance. Members, the same. We're super appreciative of your attendance. Happy New Year, everybody. 2019 is here, and I believe you're ready for it. I believe we all are. Last Sunday morning, we talked a bit about worshiping God and how we wanted to get 2019 off to a great start in that area. Good on you. You're here, and we are so encouraged by your attendance. I hope that this year is filled with many, many opportunities for us to worship God together. And I hope that a resolution or goal of yours is to worship God as often as you can and get a little bit more out of that worship by, of course, putting a little bit more into that worship. That's exactly how it goes. Open your Bibles, please, to James chapter 2. How about we get 2019 started off with a little pop quiz? James chapter 2 is a very famous chapter for the series of questions that the inspired writer asks. And these are teaching questions, you know, designed to get the readers to think about their response and learn some pretty big lessons from the same. I had a teacher once upon a time ago, who would call his tests friendly little tests. And that was really tongue-in-cheek because his tests were neither friendly nor little. They were monsters, as I recall. But the pop quiz from James chapter 2 here this morning is a friendly little test. Something that will help us, I believe, help us get this year started off right in our relationship for the Lord. James asks a series of questions. We're not going to look at all of them. This is just a quiz, not a test. But we want to look at one in verse number 7. So James chapter 2, verse number 7 here, James says, "Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called?" So James is asking about blasphemy, and those who these Christian readers are aware are blaspheming the name of Christ. 2019 is not very old yet, but it has already seen its fair share of hypocrisy and blasphemy. Blasphemy is a word that gets a whole lot of attention in the Bible. It's used in some very famous contexts and settings, but at its root, blasphemy is just a word that means to speak against or to defame. And we live in a world that seems to be quite proud of the speaking against and defamation of Christianity that happens. And James is directing these words not just to the world out there, but he's talking about blasphemy in and among the Lord's people. If we zoom out just a little bit to pick up a few more bits of context here, we'll find that these Christians were borderline guilty, maybe more than borderline. They were guilty of partiality and favoritism. And it went something like this. In their back in James' time, first century Christian assembly, when they saw someone coming into their assembly hall or the house in which they were worshiping God, when they saw someone dressed very nicely, verse 2 talks about this sharp-dressed man or woman. He has a gold ring on. He's wearing nice clothes, goodly apparel, the King James Version calls that. When these Christians would spot that, oh, they would trip over themselves, we would say, to greet this apparently rich person. And they would usher this apparently rich person down to the front. Back in those days, people wanted to sit on the front row. So they would take this person of higher esteem, or so it appeared, and they would say, "Hey, we've got a really good seat for you. We're so happy that you're here, shaking hands and hugging and holy kissing and all the works." Meanwhile, when there was somebody else there, a little less well-dressed, somebody who didn't necessarily ooze of the perception and the personification of wealth and luxury, they would say, that guy, he could, that poor fella, so it appeared, that poor fella, he could sit over there, stand back there, we don't much care. So these Christians were playing favorites. It's a word of warning to us to make sure we don't do the same all these many years later. But one of the things that James points out is that the ones they were showing partiality to, the ones they were falling over themselves to greet and really glad hand and make feel special and get on the radar of, these were the very ones whose life in general spoke against Christ. It's a sad, sad thing to see God's people swooning for Satan's people. And that's kind of what was happening in James chapter 2, verse 6. And don't look now, but it's kind of what's happening in 2019, where you have God's people who dream. They just kind of daydream and imagine being like some famous Instagram celebrity or YouTube star or movie star or singer or athlete. And even in some extreme cases, we have Christian parents who are raising their children to be rich and famous and pointing to people on the TV and say, see here, you should hope that you can grow up and be like him or her. Well, wait just a minute. Some of the people we idolize, some of the people we tell our children to grow up and be like are worldly and lost. They're literally blaspheming the name that we allege to hold dear. And James is saying, something's not right here. I got a question for you. You've got to answer on this pop quiz. Don't they, the people you idolize in many respects, don't they blaspheme the holy name that you're called by? What's your name, Christian? It's Christian. That's what the Lord's followers are called, Christians. Or disciples, learners. Either way, Jesus is central to who we are as people. Who are you? What do you do? I've often wished for a time when we Christians would answer that very rote question that comes out almost habitually when you meet somebody for the first time. What do you do? I've often wished for a time where we Christians would say, I follow Christ. That's what I do. You're so much more than your job. I don't know what has happened or when it's happened, but we Americans love to associate ourselves with our occupation. And I hope you have a good job. Maybe you have a great job. I wish that for everybody. But you know, you're so much more than what you do those 50 or 60 hours a week. You're so much more than that. So I don't know if you have room on your list for another resolution this year, 2019. May I suggest this one? The next time somebody asks you, what do? Say, I follow Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, that is our vocation. You know what a vocation is. Around here, we call that your job. Paul says your job, your vocation, is to follow Jesus. And these Christians here were guilty of idolizing people who were not following Jesus while they themselves were alleging or attempting to follow Jesus. It's backwards thinking. And James's question right here is very probative. He's trying to get these Christians to wake up and realize, wait a minute. He's got a point here. James has a point here. The people we most want to be like, the people we most want to associate with, the people we most want to endear ourselves to, aren't even Christians. And we would not want our children to grow up and be lost, like most of the people we see on TV, certainly not everyone. But we would not want our children to have to have the sin-riddled lives that most of the people we see on TV have. Again, not everyone. So why in the world do we point to these people on TV or in the movies or the YouTube channel or on the music stations? Why do we point to these people and say, you, speaking to our children, you need to be like that? Wouldn't it be great to be rich and famous like that celebrity? Maybe, but probably not. Because it would be certainly detrimental to our soul. James says, make sure that your mouth is speaking what your heart is alleging. You want to please the Lord. Surround yourself with people who want to please the Lord too. Church, a faithful church, is a great place to start. Make friends with good Christian people this year. Make friends with good Christian folks who will encourage and motivate and inspire you to be a better Christian, because that's what life is really all about. Next question. Question number two on this pop quiz comes to us from James chapter 2, of course, verse number 14, where James asks this question: what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say, I have faith and have not works? Can that faith save him? Two-part question here. James is talking to us about the glorious subject of faith and works. And he's letting us know that faith without works does not profit at all. His rhetorical line here at the beginning of James 2:14, what profit is it? What good does it do? It is directing readers to see that it's no good to have faith without works. Can that faith without works, can that save him? Think about the answer to that question. What's your answer? Can faith only save a man? My answer to that question is no way. James goes on to explain how that faith must have works. You can't just in an empty way believe in God and expect to be saved. You believe that, right? I hope so. Look at verse number 19. In James 2:19, James says, you believe that there is one God? Good job. Listen, believing in God is laudable, especially America 2019 saying, I believe in God. It's nothing to sneeze at. That's a big confession and admission these days, even around here in the once a Bible Belt South, saying that I believe God is quite a statement, and I'm proud of everyone who makes it. I spent most of my year 2018 limiting the amount of football that I watch. No reason in particular. I didn't even make a big deal about it. This may be the first time some of y'all are hearing it, because it's truly no big deal to me. And I just wanted to do a little experiment. And I'm pleased with the results, but you know what? Around here, America, 2018, 2019, you can tell somebody, I don't believe in God. And they'll look at you and say, oh, okay, no big deal. I don't want to judge you. You do you, I'll do me. You find your truth. Hey, buddy, whatever works for you. Those are the responses that you get when you tell people, I don't believe in God. they look at you like, oh, no big deal. Nothing's different here. Huh. Whatever. Same time, 2018, 2019, you tell somebody around here, I'm not watching football anymore. What? Why? How are you managing life without watching these dressed up men run after a ball? How do you do it? I'm serious. That's not at all made up. You're chuckling at the reaction because you know it's true. You tell somebody, I don't believe in God. No big deal. They might not even look up from their cell phone-induced daze when you tell them, I don't believe in God. Yeah, sure, fine, whatever, yeah, okay. Hey, did you see this video? You tell somebody, you're not watching football anymore. What? I can't believe it. I don't know what I would do without football in my life. You believe in God. Good job. James 2:19. The devils also believe and tremble. Can faith only save a man? No, sir. No, ma'am. The devils have faith only, and they're doomed because their faith is not perfectly joined with works. You see, next, in the next verse, James talks to us about Abraham. Abraham, who was justified by his incredible works. And the scripture is fulfilled. If you look at verse 23, James 2:23, the scripture is fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. When is the scripture fulfilled that says Abraham believed God? I'll tell you when. When he woke up early that morning and took his son Isaac, getting ready to offer him as a sacrifice, just like God told him to. That's when the scripture's fulfilled. Abraham had been knowing God for his whole life. Abraham had been believing in God for his whole life, knowing God is real for his whole life. But the scripture becomes fulfilled, saying Abraham believes in God and is a friend of God when Abraham gets up and takes his faith and joins it with works. And the Bible says that Abraham's works perfected his faith. We have a classic combination of faith and works. For years, they have been misunderstood. I don't believe this necessarily to be the case, but a guy can hope, can't he? I hope that 2019 is the year we finally get this straight. Faith and grace and works are all pieces of the same beautiful part. Faith and grace and works all factor into our salvation. It starts with God's grace. Without that, we've got nothing. So God's grace is point number one. It's where it all begins. Without that, we're doomed. And then our faith comes into play. We have to believe all of this stuff. And then our works come next, immediately next too, I might add. Not years and years and years and years later, but just like that. If you believe what God says, you're going to be doing what God says. That's the way it works. That's the way it is. If my children believe I'm going to take them to Disney World, they're going to have their bags packed. they're going to have some things to show for that belief. We're about to leave and go to Florida for a while. They're going to have some things that represent and demonstrate a conviction that's really going to happen. If you believe that God is coming again, that Jesus is coming again, if you believe that, you're going to have your bags packed and be ready for when he comes. There are going to be some works, some things that your life does to show, to illustrate, to exemplify the fact that you believe this. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll see it in your life, and the world will too. Faith and grace and works make a beautiful combination that must exist in every good Christian's life. You want to be a little bit better than the devil's, don't you? You want your children, whom you love, to be a little bit better than the devil's, don't you? Well, it takes more than just a belief that God is real for that to happen. James 2:19, don't let that point pass you by. You believe that God is real, good on you. Great news. Pat on the back. High five. You deserve it. But what's going to make you different from the devils, who also believe in God and tremble? Your works will. Question number 3 on this little pop quiz for 2019. Verse 22. James 2:22. You see how faith worked with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. Well, we talked about a good portion of that question in the previous point about Abraham. Abraham's faith combined with his works, and Abraham's works made Abraham's faith perfect. That's a word that means complete. And the same thing holds true for you and me today. We have our faith in God. That's great. But we also have directions from James, who is from God, that this faith in God needs to be married up with works in order for it to be complete. And here's the question, not about that last point. I don't want to preach that point again. Here's the question. Do you see that? The first two questions in this pop quiz, we answered together. We can't do that with this last question here. Because this last question of the pop quiz is, do you see that? Well, do you? Do you see that we have to please God today in the same way that Abraham did, believing and working that faith? Faith lying dormant in our bodies. It's really not even faith, y'all. The word faith conveys, in its giving, the word faith conveys a trust that is matched with an obedience. Faith, by the definition, faith involves obedience. So if you have faith without obedience, you really don't have faith, because a key ingredient in faith is obedience. Do you see that? Will 2019 be the year that you obey God more? Obey the gospel for the first time, perhaps? If you're ready for that this morning, we're ready for you this morning. We would love for someone who is ready to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you've already done that, as most in here have, I know who I'm talking to today. I love you as Christians. Many have already obeyed that plan of salvation, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and yes, being baptized just like God commands. Many in here have already done that. Great, great. This pop quiz was originally given to Christians just like you, who had already heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized. And they still needed to know the answers to these questions. They still needed to be motivated to be better in their relationship with God. Even though they were Christians, baptized believers, having their sins washed away, they were not perfect, and neither is anyone in this room. So it's really predominantly a pop quiz for us Christians. Are you going to make this year the year that you do better for God? 2019, I don't know what it has in store for us. But here's my wish for 2019. More God and less of everything else. More Bible, more Jesus, more religion, and less of literally everything else. Let's see how many things we can push off our plate so that we can have a bigger portion of godliness on that plate. That's completely the opposite of the way a lot of folks are looking at this year. I get it. I've been completely opposite from a lot of people in this world for a while now. And I want you to join me in being completely opposite of them. They want to do more, see more, go more, spend more, earn more, do more, all the while saying, one of these days, I'll get back around to my relationship with God. Let's do the opposite this year, shall we? Less of everything else. Let less worry, less concern about what's going on in Washington or the Middle East or outer space. Less worry about all of that stuff. Less worry about what our life is going to be like 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now. Less worry about all of that. Less consumption of everything that's around us. Less activities, less of all of it, and more of God. I think that'll make you happier in 2019. I think that will make you closer to God this year for sure. And you can do it. We can. James chapter 2 is written to us Christians who still need the Lord and who still need to know how we can please Him better. What about you? Do you see that, James 2:22? Last question of our pop quiz. Do you see that? If you do, and if we can help, let us know now. As we stand and sing, won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.